Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Oskari Laitinen, the Finlandian researcher at the University of Turku, who recently published a paper in the Scandinavian Journal of Psychology demonstrating a correlation between belief in our holy system of critical social justice and feeling anxious, depressed, and unhappy. The study even said explicitly that lower mental health correlates with accepting the truth of wokeism as well with being on the political left. But of course, this comes as no surprise at all. The purpose of wokeosity is not to feel safe, cheerful, and happy. The purpose of wokeosity is to feel virtuous, proud, and superior. We are working to fix the world, not trying to be smiley-faced ambassadors of sunshine. And what better way to prove that you are doing right in the world than that you experience misery because of it? As the anti-Bible says, Gaia loves a miserable giver. The egoism paradox teaches us that we can only feel happy when we are doing things that benefit ourselves, which is how we can tell that we are being selfish. Logically, then, the best way to be certain that we are selflessly sacrificing ourselves for the good of all is by finding ourselves to be as anxious, depressed, and unhappy as possible. We accomplish this in part by continuously finding ways to be dissatisfied with the status quo, feeling guilty over things we cannot control, and by creating problems so mind-blowingly large that the only rational response to them is doubt, anguish, and reducing ourselves to puddles of immobilizing, quivering despair. The physically self-flagellating monks of the Middle Ages have nothing on us. We have raised value-based, self-inflicted psychological misery to an art form. So it's not so much that these Scandinavian researchers have produced a study with false conclusions in showing that wokeists are unhappy, it's that they've committed the classic blunder of making that sound like a bad thing. As the very existence of the Busybodies Ecumenical North American General Society, BNAGS for short, reminds us, always obsessing about everyone else's business in the name of selfless concern is a fantastic way to never be happy. And we here now and forevermore vow to be as unhappy as we must be in order to spread our misery to as many other people as we possibly can. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Jana Hocking, the sexually adventurous dating columnist for the Australian web news service news.com.au, after this week's inadvertently repressive column entitled, quote, How to Keep Your Body Count Low While Still Having Lots of Sex, end quote. Now, normally, we love Jana because in every column, she teaches the modern woman to reject traditional sexual norms such as monogamy, fidelity, and chastity. However, this week's column has shown us that she has taken a terrible turn down the dark alley of unintentional patriarchy reinforcement. The advice from this week's column is that instead of quickly jumping into the sack with every new man who seems interesting to you, it's smarter to recycle your old sexual partners as a way of simply getting your sexual needs met by former lovers who are, quote, the perfect combination of kind and sweet and mighty fine in bed, but certainly not boyfriend material. Whatever that distinction means. She says repeatedly engaging in attachment-free repetition of sex with a small selection of former flames keeps her from too quickly having sex with new men and allows her to really focus on whether they are good companions instead. It also avoids the concern of inviting someone potentially dangerous into her boudoir simply because she's overly eager for physical gratification. The prior partners on her recycle list are, of course, known and safe. Now, obviously, the main problem here is that Hocking has implicitly reinforced the patriarchal demonization of healthy female libido and the unjust oppression of the promiscuous woman by starting from the premise that having a high body count is a bad thing. But we say the only way a girl can know she's been liberated from the patriarchal repression of women is to have as much reckless sex as possible. By slut-shaming the many-lovered high body count women who read her column, she's simply inflicted the ancient misogyny upon them afresh. But it's worse than that. Hocking appears to be endorsing sexually stable relationships in which the participants know, like, and trust each other and therefore have highly satisfying repeated sexual encounters built on familiarity and security. As several critics of her column noted, she seems to be celebrating the discovery of marriage. Now, granted, she's only endorsing a small-scale polygamy of sorts, say, trigamy with three former partners, and yeah, she is still not granting them any sort of permanence or exclusivity in their pleasure rights over her. But carried to its logical extreme, she is clearly implying that lower numbers are better, and the lowest non-zero number of all is one. After all, If greater happiness can be found in repeated encounters with just a few former partners over a long time, perhaps the best happiness of all could be found in repeated encounters with the one single, kind, sweet man who is good in bed and is happy to meet her needs on the regular. Her entire line of reasoning sounds scandalously like the preamble of an ode to monogamous marriage. If 10 is better than 20 and 3 is better than 10, why wouldn't 1 be better than 3? No, Jenna Hawking. Monogamy is a tool of the patriarchy and runs the very real danger of making both men and women evolve together into deep and meaningful, mutually sacrificial relationships once they're freed from the dangers and pitfalls of continuously having to find new romantic partners. And we cannot have that. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to express our deep appreciation to the thought leaders at the Mississippi University for Women who have decided after 140 years to change their name from this highly gendered reaffirmation of sexual binarism to something much more modern and inclusive and hard to pronounce, the Winbridge State University of Mississippi, or as the students refer to it, the W. Just because that W no longer stands for women but for Winbridge, that's important to remember. Not only does this change end the long-standing participation of the W in perpetuating the two-sex error so endemic in our transphobic society, but it finally brings into practice the obvious fact that men have been attending the Mississippi University for Women since 1982. In fact, 22% of the students were assigned male at birth and prefer the pronouns he, him, and his. Our one note of regret over this choice to degender the school name is that for those men who attended the W previously, they at least learned a little tiny slice of what it's like to experience gender marginalization as men enrolled at a university for women. But knowing how impossible it is to actually teach men to understand the woman's true perspective, perhaps it's better to just fix the gender issue, remove the gender distinctions, and go for the now gender-neutral name. So good for you, the W, for fostering sexual unity by eliminating the reminder of sexual differences altogether. Surely that will do the trick. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please note that visitation times for Mary Inkinger have been changed from weekdays 10 to 4 to Tuesday from 10:15 to 10:19 a.m. As you all know, Mary has been bedridden ever since the emotionally distressing encounter she had at the park when a total stranger, a man, smiled at her, began talking with her, and told her she was pretty. How dare he? The idea that an enlightened woman like Mary might be evaluated for her physical attractiveness in a positive manner by a stranger of the opposite sex was so upsetting to her that she shrieked, ran home, and hasn't been able to keep down solid foods ever since. Please also say a mantra for the man who so violently assaulted her with his words. The authorities have been unable to locate him, but we will keep searching. In the meantime, 4 minutes of human interaction per week is all Mary can endure at this point in her recovery. Refreshments this week are provided by Hop, Skip, and Jumper Cables, the snack company for people on the go who want to use the clean energy from their electric vehicles to fry up a delicious snack of voltage-enhanced split pea curd, celery marmalade, or fried alfalfa sprouts. It's refreshingly green food made just for you, by you, when you power up your green vehicles. You'll definitely have time to make more than one batch.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.